Zone Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that goes places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, they don't, they won't, and it's just the way it is, and but we will, because it's really the only way we can do things. It's a very bizarre show. It's one of those shows where you think you know what we're doing, but you don't, and like that. And we can push ahead, and we can plow through, and we can walk, like we like to say, through a pile of cow do, of dog do, of fertilizer.
Well, you don't, you use a stronger word.
Yes, but for the purposes of air, we can walk through a pile of you-know-what this high and come out with a rose in our nose.
All right.
Thank you. All right. That's fine, bud. That's enough.
Yay.
That's good, bud. That's enough, man.
That's enough, man. Come out. The plotting.
Great. Fine. I don't need, you know, you don't have some nut in Carnegie Hall here. Anyway, welcome to the show. Tonight, we're going to try to finish some unfinished business from last night. Is that right? Is that what I heard? We have... I believe we're going to have Jay Santos back on, and he's going to discuss some security questions surrounding who knows what, when, and how they know it, and why they don't know it, and what should you say, and what shouldn't you say. All of this jazz surrounding the situation there with General Petraeus in Tampa, and the hostess with the mostess, and all that stuff, right? You're shaking your head, Margaret.
Well, I think that the situation in Tampa is very, very simple. It is a woman who is in over her head socially, a woman who wanted to be the big social lights of New York, the big social lights of Los Angeles, the big social lights of the big city. She wanted to be all that they are and all that they could be and all that they've been and all that they were. And would you...
Bud, what's the matter?
Wouldn't you think you made your point?
I'll finish my point when I finish my point. Now I'm starting on... This is what happens when you interrupt me. I start again. No, Phil, I'm not...
Margaret, please, we don't have a lot of time.
You have 3 hours. Now I'm starting again. The woman in Tampa...
Bud.
God!
Thank you. The woman in Tampa, this Jill Kelly... imagines herself to be a social butterfly, a social hostess, on a par or a level with what you might imagine in New York, in Los Angeles. Well, she isn't. She won't be. She never will be. Never more, ever after. She always was and always will be. I'm sorry.
That's generally reserved for as a definition of God.
Well, she's not God.
Well, you just said she always was and always will be.
Yeah, that's what you said.
No, what I meant to say was she never was and she never not will be. I don't know.
See, what happens on this show...
Yeah, could I say something?
No, no, you may not say anything. What happens on this show... I'm speaking now. Daddy's speaking, as Margaret says. What happens on this show is that in our race to be as eloquent as we can possibly be... we get too far ahead of ourselves, and we don't, to use your words, Bud, we don't say it too good. And in your case, Margaret, you wanted to put down this Jill Kelly as, you know, as a wannabe, I think is really what you're saying, right?
Yes.
All right. But you kept on going and kept on going until you fell into sort of a verbal trap, a grammatical trap, and she always was and she always will be. And that's something out of my confirmation class when I was a Catholic. I mean, when I was a young Catholic. I mean, when I practiced. I mean, what I'm saying is...
Yeah, see, talking about going too fast. Yeah, but at least he got way... You only just now said 3 words and you... That was too fast.
Well, both of you idiots, the minute you say more than a sentence, it's too much.
That's... She's got a point. What I'm saying is...
You Catholic?
Am I what?
Are you Catholic?
Yeah, I'm Catholic. I was baptized Catholic. I'm Catholic.
But you don't practice Catholicism.
I go to Mass. I'm Catholic. Am I a Catholic like I was when I was... I'm more of a Catholic today than I was... What are we talking about? Okay?
You're the one who brought up God and all that.
I'm just saying, she said that Jill Kelly always was and always will be. That's what they call God. That's what we used to say about God, not some chick that's giving parties in Tampa. Although I'm sure that that probably applies to a lot of people that throw parties in Tampa. They always was, and they always was, is going to be.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Mike Weaver. God.
Who's Mike Weaver?
He's a prize fighter that didn't speak English.
Yes, he did. He spoke a form of English.
All right.
Margaret, you know a lot about prize fighting, huh?
Yes, my father used to take me to the prize fights.
He did?
Yes. I'm very much a prize fight fan. My father and I went to the fights regularly. There was no one else in the family that would go to the fights with my father except I, and I enjoyed it immensely.
Did you see any big fights?
We were in San Diego, and we saw Ken Norton and Muhammad Ali.
You saw the Norton-Ali fight?
Yes, we did.
So, all right, what happened?
Well, what happened was that Ken Norton broke Muhammad Ali's jaw, and Ken Norton wound up winning the fight.
That's right.
Yeah, that's bullcrap. Who's never even not heard of Ken Norton?
Ken Norton beat Muhammad Ali. She's right. You guys were in San Diego, huh?
We were in San Diego. I traveled with my father, and he was doing... At that time, my father was representing a sports brand company. My father was an attorney.
Right.
And he was representing one of the different sports brands. I don't know which one it was. Who makes the baseballs?
That's like Spalding.
Spalding.
I don't think it was that company, but he was there on... basically, he was doing a job for them. He was working for them and had traveled to San Diego for this prize fight. And I went with him.
So you saw Norton and Ali. Did you have good seats?
Yeah, what kind of seats did you have?
We had very good seats. We were on the floor. We were about five rows back.
Did you see the jaw break?
Well, we saw Ken Norton land some very, very good punches. And at one point, Ken Norton, you could see that... Ali's fighting his stance, I don't know what you call it, but the way he was approaching Ken Norton, it was much more defensive.
Yeah, he probably wearing what I call the rope-a-dope.
Yeah, did he go into that rope-a-dope?
Well, he did his rope-a-dope, but he was much more defensive. It was clear that Norton was getting the better of him. No one knew that the jaw was broken. That's something that anyone that tells you they knew, they didn't know. You knew that he was landing punches. But you did not know that he had landed one so powerfully that he'd broken the jaw.
Yeah, well, I remember watching the fight. I do not remember, and of course nowadays when we talk about prize fighting, we're talking about in the heavyweight division where we don't have any, and we have not had since Mike Tyson, we haven't had anybody near as dominant as a guy like Ali or as dominant as any fighter you want to imagine, even Joe Frazier, but... we haven't had one in the heavyweight division now since Tyson, but I remember them saying that he had his jaw broken, but I didn't see it, and I don't think I noticed it.
Did he knock him down?
No, he did not knock him down. That was it. He broke the jaw, but it never Ali was never off his feet.
In that whole fight?
Not that I remember, no.
Well, I never saw him fight live. Where was that fight?
It was in San Diego.
No, but I mean where?
It was at the... Well, at the arena there.
At the sports arena?
Yes. The one down in...
It's down... what do they call that section of town down there, man? I forget.
La Mesa.
La Mesa, yeah. So, in any event, well, that's interesting. And there you go. So, you were a prize fight fan. And I don't know how we got into that, but...
Well, these two were going on and on about something.
Yeah, you two guys were talking about always... Mike Weaver, that's it. You knew who Mike Weaver was. And I barely know, and these two idiots don't. All right, so thank you very much, Margaret, and thank you, and welcome to the show. Petraeus fails to ease partisan divide over Libya consulate attack. The former CIA director addresses Congress on the Benghazi attack. Republicans still believe the Obama administration tried to downplay ties to terrorists. How do you like that? That's a shock that the Republicans would not believe what the president says. That's almost as shocking as the Democrats not believing what a Republican president says. My God, how things have changed. Yeah, but there's only one difference, Phil. What's that? The difference is the Republicans don't trust Obama, and they're right. Whereas when the Democrats didn't trust Bush, they were wrong. Oh. Well, now, as long as you put it that way. Appearing before two congressional committees in closed-door session, former CIA Director David Petraeus, who's got a hell...
Here, take some water. Get some water.
Thank you. Got the water, bud. Thanks. CIA Director David H. Petraeus, a guy who's got a hell of a lot more on his mind than whether or not Obama is having a comfortable time in the White House right now, that's for sure. Ha ha. This guy's got woman troubles. He's got all kinds of lady problems, man. He's got the kind that has to do with the wife. He's got the girlfriend thing going on. He may have a third. He's got a multiple mistress situation. David Petraeus, the very the loyal, the well-spoken, the very studious, the intellectual general, the architect of the surge, the man respected on both sides of the political divide in America, David Petraeus, go man, go.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, I like to see what that guy's got in a side drawer of his nightstand. Probably all kind of marital aid.
All right, bud. Thank you.
What are you talking about, man?
That guy, the way that guy gets around?
The way that guy gets around. Anyway, he did little to ease the partisan divide over... the way that guy gets around. Over whether Obama, the Obama administration officials misled the public after heavily armed militants killed four Americans in the Libyan city of Benghazi. We're going to be back and talk more about this. Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us as well. And we have been asking people online on our website in our comment section which of our guests have been the most popular with you and that you'd like to hear brought back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we will do just that for you tonight. Some of the more popular ones. Stick around. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock here on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We have with us, we got Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us here tonight from one of the substations. I think one of the things we need to get cleared up, Jay, and I don't mean, I just want people to know what I mean by substation. You don't have a substation in the traditional sense of the word, do you, as a Citizens Auxiliary Police officer?
You know, Phil, you and I had this conversation before where you said I don't have a traditional... we do not have a traditional security force. There's no question about that. However, we are on the front line law enforcement, and so we take our job very seriously, and I think that we may be non-traditional to you. We might be non-traditional to other police officers officers who work in the field. We are very traditional, thanks to the regular citizen, insofar as we, you know, save lives.
I understand that, but the substation that you have right now, is that a traditional substation?
I think it's a traditional substation. It's a place where officers, law enforcement officers, gather and receive their orders for the day. It is a place where we can bring individuals that we do have the right to detain, and by detain, I'm not saying we go out and arrest, because we are not, we do not arrest individuals. What we do is detain them so that we can go over just who they are, the paperwork. We want to look up the paperwork, make sure papers are in order. Well, I shouldn't say their papers are in order, because that sounds an awful lot like, you know, what you see in a lot of Nazi movies and everything, but we do want to see that they're in order, and this is where we hold them. And this is, then they are released.
Well, you detain people as a Citizens Auxiliary Police officer.
Well, Phil, if we're going to go over our rights and, over the thing, our plan of operation as Citizens Auxiliary Police, I'd be happy to do that, but I think we've articulated this before. I think what you want to clear up is this substation like one that you might see? The answer is yes.
Well, it's also someone's home, right?
No, it is not. I don't know what you mean.
It's in someone's home. Isn't the substation you're in right now in someone's home?
Yeah, it is. Sub-Commander Gleason is the gentleman who owns the structure. The substation that I'm in right now is a basement that is underneath the structure that he and his wife and his young daughter occupy. Is that what you're asking?
Yes, sir. That's what I'm asking. So I want people to know, in other words, that the Citizens Auxiliary Police, there is not a Citizens Auxiliary Police station, per se.
Yes, there is. See, okay, we were going in the right direction, and now we're not. We're, you know...
What Phil is asking you, Mr. Santos, I don't know, what is your rank?
As I have told you, Ms. Gray, my rank is Brigadier Admiral.
I'm sorry, what is that?
Brigadier Admiral. I'm a Brigadier Admiral. And we have various ranks. You want me to go through my...
No, you know, Jay, I didn't want to have you come on and explain the entire structural, you know, the organization, but I wanted to know, you're at a substation, and I wanted people to know that where you are is a substation that's located in the basement of Sub-Commander Gleason's house.
That is correct. His name is Timothy Gleason. You can call him Sub-Commander if you want. I'd rather it be me, because it is the command structure of my organization. So Sub-Commander Gleason is, yeah, it's his house.
Okay. We're talking here with Jay Santos. They're at the, it sounds very busy.
It is very busy here, and it's not busy, let's say, at another sub-commander's substation if we use someone else's house. But today it's busy. What you're hearing in the background is not, doesn't really reflect what's happening here. We are busy, but it's not as busy as what you're hearing in the background. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of people.
Yeah, that is a tape that we are... I mean, we roll that tape for radio interviews and for television interviews if we're just doing audio. Okay? And I thought I told your...
Yes, he said that what they'd be rolling a tape.
You're rolling a tape of what?
Well, you can listen to it if you want.
So what I hear are people in the background. There's a lot of people moving around.
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
And that's a tape recording.
Yes, ma'am. And the reason why we do that is to enhance the interview experience and to give you an idea of how busy we can get, but that's not what it sounds like.
Well, when you say you're busy right now.
Right, we're busy. We have four of the sub-commanders are here. We have just going through some paperwork. We're probably going to send one or two of our sub-commanders out. We've got sub-commander Devlin, sub-commander Boone, and sub-commander Shondell. And now I got sub-commander Gleason, who's here with me.
And these guys are doing what?
Well, it sounds like there are women there.
No, that's the tape recording.
All right, let me ask you a question. Do you need to roll that tape?
Is it bothering you?
It bothers me now, yeah. It bothers me now.
Why is that, Phil?
It bothers me because it's not real. What's happening behind you isn't real. You see what I'm saying? In other words, I don't know why.
Why would that bother you? What we're doing is just to enhance experience. You can understand what I'm saying.
Yes, sir, I can understand what you're saying, but for some reason now I'm bothered because it's not... You know, when you do an interview, if you do anything that has... that one would call a journalistic effort, what you're first looking to do is to establish the reality of the person, the credibility of the person. You then ask questions. You get answers that you are looking more and more to ensure are truthful, and whatever else is happening should be truthful.
Well, I think it is truthful, Mr. Henry. We want you to know that we are a very busy substation here.
Yep. All right, well, let me ask you something. Before you started talking to me about the substation, you didn't want to answer questions.
What, Phil, that is absolutely true. Mr. Santos, this is Margaret Gray. You were reluctant to answer questions about the substation.
No, I was not reluctant to answer questions, but Phil was asking in the wrong way. Is that an independent substation? I know what he meant.
Well, you didn't, first of all, you didn't call that home the Gleason home. You said the structure that the substation is under is a place where, you know, Phil?
Yeah, is where Sub-Commander Gleason lives with his wife and daughter.
That's exactly correct, yes, sir.
Well, then why don't you just say it's a home and it's the basement in the home of Sub-Commander Gleason?
Now, that would not be accurate, sir. What's more accurate to say is that it is a basement, well...
Yeah, you know...
Just waste our time and move on with it.
That's what I'm trying to do, but I mean, I'm just... I don't know what he wants me to do.
Just move on and get to the questions.
Bud, I'll ask the questions here, okay?
Yeah, you're wasting too much time. Audience is going, what's this about? What is it about?
No, they want to know that those are real people.
I'm interviewing a guy right now who is at a very busy substation, so he says, and I'm listening to a tape recording of people.
That is correct, Mr. Aaron, but it's only in the way of enhancement. And all we're trying to do is enhancement, you know?
I understand about the enhancement, and I don't feel as strongly as Phil does that we shouldn't be listening to that, but I do, it does give me the creeps, all right?
What gives you the creeps?
Well, the fact that I'm talking to you, Jay, it's already disturbing enough, because I've had a problem with you for many years, but now you're playing a tape recording of people that don't exist.
That is the idea, that's the death. Hold on. 1, 2, 3. That's exactly correct.
All right, hold on, because we do have to take a break, and I don't have time now for you to go into another explanation. We'll be right back with Jay Sanis. We are going to get into Florida socialite Jill Kelly and the Petraeus scandal. Apparently, she is feeling scared and betrayed. Let's find out. She's a woman that people are making fun of, but has she done anything wrong? It doesn't appear that she has. We'll find out. World famous Phil Henry Show.
You want me to turn up the sound of the people behind that?
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we are with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We have worked out a compromise on the sound effects that you're hearing behind Jay. Apparently, those are... All right, now, am I overstepping?
David Hall is going to be on. Can I...
Go ahead. Margaret Gray, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we worked a compromise out with Jay Sanis and the producer of our show, the executive producer, David G. Hall, that he can play these sound effects of it sounding like his substation's really busy when, in fact, he only has four people there. But he must announce that that's a tape recording.
That was not my understanding. My understanding, if I may say...
Go on, Jay.
My understanding, Phil, was that I was allowed to say that what you hear in the background is not the way it always is. That's right.
No, I didn't hear that. I thought I heard David say...
I don't want to get into an argument about this.
Neither do I.
Go ahead. You can say what you want, Jay.
All right. Well, what I was going to say is this: Jay Sanis is Citizens Auxiliary Police, and what you hear in the background is not the way it normally is around here.
Okay.
You're not happy with that?
No, I'm not happy with that. It's a tape recording of people. It's a sound effects that you're rolling because it isn't that busy.
It's busy for us.
It's busy for you. You got four guys going over paperwork and eating chicken, you said.
No, there's a guy here. Jesus. One of our sub-commanders, Sub-Commander Devlin or Dawson. Which one is Devlin and Dawson? Which one's Devlin and which one's Dawson?
I don't know.
Oh, for God's sake. Who are you? Who are you? I'm delivering a chicken. You're the chicken guy? You're delivering the chicken. All right. We got a guy delivering chicken.
Yeah, I got that, and four guys going over paperwork.
That's correct.
Okay, it doesn't... That would not make the sound that I'm hearing behind you.
Right, that's why I said it's not usually this busy around here, because it isn't this busy.
So it's not so busy that you have four...
So in other words, you don't usually have four guys going over paperwork with a guy delivering chicken. It's usually what?
It's usually empty in here, because this is Sub-Commander Gleason's house. We're usually at my house. God.
Sorry, Jay. I didn't mean to make a thing out of it.
Well, that's all you've been doing, Mr. Henry, since the time I come on your show until the time that I'm right here now and until the time that I will go off your show. That's the way it's been.
All right. Jay Sanis of the... I apologize. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We were going to talk about the Petraeus situation, but you wanted to make a point about the election?
That's correct. Could you guys keep it down, please? I'm just saying that for a fact so you know that I'm not talking to real people there. Does that make you happy?
That makes me happy, but I don't think the audience is really understanding.
No, I think the audience is thoroughly confused.
All right, so big deal, big wow. You know, I'm sorry, Phil. I'm sorry I had a lot of bread and butter. I didn't have time for dinner. I ate a lot of bread and butter.
Okay, so if you belch, is there a way you can put your hand over your mouth?
Phil, I am, I'm guilty of this more than anyone. So I will come to Jay's defense in this instance. It is very difficult to stop that kind of thing from happening once it starts. All right? And if you feel you need to belch, you might as well do it. And let the consequences be damned. And anyone who knows me knows that I'm a lady and knows that I would never do anything unladylike.
Yeah, except on a belching.
And belching, you know something, bud? It's a really funny thing. Even women belch too.
All right. Jay, please, continue.
All right, so you're not mad about a belch?
Please continue.
Fine, I just, you know. So.
Can I ask just one favor?
Yes, sir.
Could you take all those busy people that you have in the background there, and would you lower the noise they're making?
You mean lower the volume?
Yes, lower the volume.
How's that?
Fine. Proceed.
All right. What I was going to say, Phil, is in a recent election that we just had for President of the United States, and I was talking about this with Dan Northcraft, who is your technical advisor up there at your radio show, and it's also your technical director. And I don't know the term, but he's technical. He's technically.
He's my technical director, yeah.
All right. Dan and I were talking, and I said to him, and it sort of caught his attention, I've also said this to a number of other people in media over the last several days. If you look at the general election of Obama and the defeat of President Obama over Mitt Romney, how does it happen that President Obama, yes, he did win a popular vote. I'm not going to go down that road like a lot of people want to do. He did win a popular vote.
You said he won the popular vote. Are trees voting?
Margaret, would you not?
No, I mean, I'm asking, are trees voting?
Would you stop, please?
So trees are voting?
What do you mean trees?
Because you said poplar instead of popular.
What's that got to do with it?
Poplar's a tree.
Yes, so he won the poplar vote. That's great.
Ma'am, I'm sorry if I'm not talking as good as you, or I'm a law enforcement officer.
No, I understand that, but I do think you need to make yourself very clear, and I think you could make yourself clearer if you weren't playing the sound effects of a really busy office to make it sound like it is there with four guys and a chicken delivery man.
I can understand that you're mocking us, ma'am.
Well, look, Jake.
No, excuse me, I won't say this. I can understand you're mocking us, ma'am. I can understand that you're having yourself a little bit of a giggle tonight. And that's fine. That's America, and that's what we are allowed to do. And to the extent that I can provide that environment for you, as a member of, however, you know, humble, my own personal law enforcement organization, we will do that, ma'am. But I also respectfully request, ma'am, that when you disparage our particular law enforcement group, that you do it with more, I don't know what you want to call it, more respect.
So you want me to disrespect you with more respect?
I would appreciate that, yeah. I mean, I know that sounds retarded. And
I don't like that word, okay?
Skip it. I mean, forgive me. I know it sounds developmentally disabled.
Well, I don't think that's the right term either. What I would say is this. I made fun, and I should not make so much fun, because after all, you are a law enforcement organization.
All right, Margaret, all right, I want you and Jay don't say anything. Everybody be quiet. I don't want this to continue down this road. Now, what happened to the sound effects?
Turn it back on. Where's the switch? Right over here. Turn it on. Turn it on! You made it sound like an ass? I don't know where the switch was. All right, can you hear the sound effects?
Yes, we can hear the sound effects. Now, let's continue. I want to just talk about Obama and Romney, and what have you uncovered?
All right, thank you very much, Phil. In the Citizens Auxiliary Police precinct, the headquarters of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we did talk with the D.C. Federal Brigade, which is our sister organization in a Washington, D.C. area. We talked to them, and they also expressed concern. President Obama won the popular, okay, Ms. Gray, you feel better?
Yes, thank you.
Won the popular vote, even though he won it, and he did win it. We're not disputing that at all. He won it by a narrow margin. I think you can know, I think everyone's going to agree. Okay, if Obama won the election, which he did do, but it was a very narrow margin, how did he win such a large number of electoral votes? See, that's the part that is very troubling to our analysis team, and we've brought in Major Elvis Newton's grandson, Corey Newton, who attends a very prestigious private university, San Diego State, and has come in to talk with our team. And
San Diego State's not a private school.
Yes, I was going to say, what do you mean a prestigious private university?
He attends San Diego State, which is a private university.
No, it is not a private university. It's a public university.
Wait, you're thinking of University of California, San Diego. That's public. Okay, San Diego State.
No, San Diego State is also a public university.
What's the one that's private?
You may be, what do you mean, what's the one, what's private?
What is the one that's private?
What do you mean, which one is, but there's the University of San Diego.
Yes, the University of San Diego is a Catholic university. What are you, University of Southern California is private, Stanford is private.
And San Diego State is private, that's what I'm talking about. What about all the state, what I'm saying is, Chico State.
You know, Jay, you know, this is a problem we have on our show. You got the, this, you got,
Yeah, see, right there you went sort of quasi effeminate when you get, you got thumb, you lisp, and you, that reflects badly on our organization. And
no, you have some, a semi-official title of a citizen's auxiliary police guy, but you don't have enough brains to know that San Diego State is a public university, not a private school. How do you ever think that you're going to convince anybody of the validity of the seriousness of your questions?
Mr. Henry, I'm simply saying that Corey Newton is coming in to advise tonight. Corey is a math major. I don't know if it's math, but it is something having to do with, I guess, adding. I don't know.
What is his major?
His what?
What is he majoring in?
I don't know.
I'll bet you he's majoring in accounting or something like that.
You say he's taking something having to do with adding.
It's math. Can you major in arithmetic?
Jay, let's just get back to Jill Kelly.
No, sir. I want to talk about what we've uncovered at the Citizens Auxiliary Police about Obama winning a lot of electoral votes. He won a lot of electoral votes, sir, and yet he didn't win that many popular votes. And I'm trying to figure out what went wrong. I think there is a question of legality that we have to look.
All right, thank you, Jay. Hold on, we'll be right back with you. I can't take it any longer.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's going to want to know why he got cut off.
You just tell him that we're going to a commercial break. I can't take listening to that guy babble on forever. Unbelievable. Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, they've uncovered something. President Obama won only a small margin of victory with a popular vote, and yet all of those electoral votes, gee, how did that happen? Woo! There must be something really weird going on. And Major Elvis Newton's grandson, Corey Newton, who goes to that fine private university, San Diego State, he's taking math. No, wait a minute. He's just taking something that has to do with adding. He's going to be there, and he's going to explain it all to them. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Ha, 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 ha. God. And welcome back, Jay Sanders with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Tonight in the South Bay, we're talking about the present President Obama's election victory. And, you know, ever since 2000, Jay, people have been suspicious of presidential elections. It isn't like we all, it's like we all got smart all of a sudden, but the fact of the matter remains, we've had a lot of presidential elections, haven't we?
Phil, yes, we have had a lot of presidential elections. No question about it, and there's no question about a fact. If we've had irregularities in the presidential voting in, for instance, 2000, and I'm not saying we had it this year, but let's say we did, it stands to reason that we've had them in other years. However, it also stands to reason, if we had them in 2000, that we look at these presidential elections. Just let me get some water here. Hey, Dusty, give me a cup of water, will you? Give me a cup of water. I don't care. I'll save me a breast or something.
Two drum.
I'll take the drumsticks. Just give me a cup of water. And in the recent presidential election, give me a cup of water, will you please? In a recent presidential election, you saw that President Obama won by a very thin margin of victory. Now, that's fine. That happens. It's okay. This is America. The rules say you got to have the electoral vote. Would you give me a cup of water, please?
You want a drumstick?
I don't care about a drumstick.
Why don't you get these guys, you know?
I know. It's the same thing, Phil, every night. Who's banning the sound effects?
Look, Jay.
I'm sorry. So what we said was, okay, if Obama won the presidential election by as many votes as he did, that, which is not that many, I'm sure you agree. Wouldn't you agree, Mr. Henry?
Yes, I would agree. He won by a narrow margin of victory. It wasn't that, it wasn't, you know, less than a percent, but it was a narrow margin.
All right. Then how is it he won all those electoral votes? Okay, can you give me a cup of water, please?
Okay. Yeah, we talk to you.
Will you tell those jackasses?
Come on, give me a cup of water. I don't want a wheat tortilla. I don't want a corn tortilla. I don't want to see that Pollo Loco. You know it gives me the runs. Why do you have that here?
Okay,
I don't want any Pollo Loco in this place again. Everybody understand me? You understand me? I don't want Pollo Loco. Give me the water. I'm sorry, Phil.
Well, I apologize that you're in the middle of a busy night, even though you're not as busy as the tape recording you're running to make it sound busy.
Right, we're not that busy, but we're getting, well, pretty soon we'll have to turn the tape recorder off and have the real sound.
Why not have that real sound now?
Because it just doesn't sound as good. Give me a cup of water, will you? Next time you guys go to Pollo Loco, God, can't say that without the water. Please, I'm begging you for some water.
Are you working with idiots or something?
What is their problem?
Mr. Henry just said I'm working with idiots. If you guys want that, are you going to stand for that?
Well,
are you going to stand for that?
Well,
Mr. Henry just said... Anyway, Phil, they went out. I told them not to go to Pollo Loco because it gives me the runs. And the other day, they went for Pollo Loco, and I got to tell you something, the bowl and the upper underneath the seat, man, it took... 409.
Okay, fine. Don't please. You know, everybody wants to be graphic. Everybody wants to describe to me their the most intimate details of what they do in private.
All right, hold on. I got some water finally. What's this? I didn't ask for salsa. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Get me some water. They went out and they got
Never mind. Don't say it. Don't strain yourself.
What are you laughing about, Mr. Harry?
Nothing at all. Nothing. I'm not laughing about anything.
Yeah, you better not strain yourself.
Don't sprain your tongue, man.
Now watch that. That is very vulgar, although it is funny.
Yeah, I'm not spraining my tongue, okay? Hold on, Phil. Is this water? I don't want hot sauce. I want water. You guys are as stupid as... You're the biggest bunch of stumble-bump slobs I've ever worked with in my life. You understand me? Major Elvis Newton would be ashamed if Major Elvis Newton was here. So anyway, Phil, how did that happen? How is it that Obama gets a big, wide margin of victory in the Electoral College, but when it comes to the popular vote, he got a narrower? See, that's suspicious. And that's why we have Corey Newton coming in from San Diego State, which I thought was a private school.
Yeah, San Diego State. So Corey Newton is going to analyze what? He's going to analyze, you have to understand.
He's going to analyze the numbers, you know, see whether or not it got counted right.
Okay, I think you need to understand, if I may, that the popular vote is the popular vote. It can be narrow. It can be narrow. And the president anyone can still have a large majority, if you will, of electoral votes. Because, for instance, you can win California or Ohio or Florida, which are three key states. But let's talk about the swing states of Ohio and Florida. You can win those by a very narrow margin. But if you win them, you get all the electoral votes.
Right.
Do you understand?
I don't quite know.
Well, this is not really that difficult.
We do have Corey Newton coming in.
Yeah, you could get Corey Newton in there all you want, okay?
Well, Major Elvis Newton said that he's contacted his grandson, and he is coming up at this hour.
Is he driving up from San Diego?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, that's 2 hours. What time did he leave?
Well, I think they just called him about 10 minutes ago.
Well, he's not going to be there, man, until after midnight.
Okay.
The point that I'm making, and what is he going to do?
He's going to take a look and see what the problem is.
You got this guy's grandson coming up on a Friday night from San Diego State to look at the problem with what? Jay, I'm telling you, it is a very simple matter that if the president or if Romney were to win the popular vote in a state like Ohio or New York or Florida or any one of these big electoral states, he may have a narrow margin of victory, but he wins all those electoral votes. Isn't that how it works? Yeah, that's how it works.
Hold on for just a minute, Phil. I've got Major Elvis Newton. Yes, sir. He's on the other line. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All hail. Phil, I just answered my cell phone. Ask Major Elvis Newton. All hail. Major Elvis Newton.
What is all hail?
I'm sorry, ma'am, but that is something we say out of respect. What we just spoke with Major Elvis Newton. All hail.
Because I've never heard you say that.
No, I haven't heard that either.
I say it after I've just physically spoken with him.
After you've physically spoken with him, you mean, okay.
Right. Major Elvis Newton, all hail, said that the way it works, and Major Elvis Newton was surprised that you didn't get it, Mr. Henry, is that you win the number percentage of the votes. He says that's how it works in a convention.
That's fine. That's how it works in a convention for delegates. It doesn't work that way for electoral votes.
All right, well, then you're saying that Major Elvis Newton is wrong, all hail.
Yes, I'm saying Major Elvis Newton is mistaken in that instance, all hail.
No, you don't say all hail.
All right, fine. Thank you very much. Jay Sanders, Citizens Auxiliary Police. We'll get back into the Jill Kelly and Petraeus controversy with Major Elvis Jay Sanders on a later broadcast. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We will continue, though, reviewing that story
Phil
in minutes.
Henry.
Bye.